Ladies and gentlemen, and our non-binary friends, you're here once again. Drinks with Friends with your hosts, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Rye. What'd you call it today? It's a genius name.
Super Yawn Sunday.
Happy Super Yawn Sunday.
Yeah.
A great day for naps and indifference.
And indifference, yes. My guy. Indifference. You know what? Before we get into, I'm sure, some hellacious rants, this podcast is, of course, brought to you by all the help from our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats, secret ingredient with love, not cocaine. Oh, yeah, before we get started. So today is Super Bowl Sunday as well.
Super what?
Super Bowl, the big football game.
For dip. Okay,
right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, 7-layer, 12-layer.
Yeah, Super Bowl of
Buffalo
dip.
Chicken, spinach, artichoke, all your favorite quesos and salsas. And then also
then I got 4 quesos.
All the covered cheeses. But it's also the day where they play the biggest football game of the year. I haven't watched any football this season, and I'm planning on continuing that today as I wear my Kaepernick hoodie.
Is there any particular reason why, my good sir?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, black ball and cap. They don't let that nigga work because he's calling out police brutality, so...
Yo, you see LeBron and...
KD.
Yeah, KD, we're rocking the all-black seven jerseys.
Yep.
Clean
but
look.
It is. I want one, but they're $150.
And that solidarity is real nice.
Yeah, I don't just have $150 to drop on something that's not shoes. So,
yeah, yeah. That's an investment, but I appreciate the sentiment.
Right.
And it's also great. It just looks great.
It
on
is,
a fashion
clean.
Tip.
It is
like,
fresh. It's extra fresh.
Yeah.
And I got plenty of shoes that would go fresh with it. But, so yeah, we're not watching that today. And we'll get into more of that later. But it's taking place in Atlanta. And I was in the parking lot.
I'm sorry. This gave me a pause. Something just clicked in my head. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, so it's taking place in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
I was in the parking lot, and I was reading an article about a young, supremely popular hip-hop artist from Atlanta who just got busted by ICE today.
Oh.
Did you hear about this?
No.
So.
No.
Let me just read the article. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, arrested unlawfully present United Kingdom national Shaya bin Abraham Joseph, a.k.a. 21 Savage, during a targeted operation with federal and local law enforcement partners early Sunday in Metro Atlanta.
They arrested Savage?
21 Savage.
Nuh-uh.
Was apparently born in the U.K., came here in 2005, and then just never left when his fucking visa expired. So right now they've got him at the beginning of deportation proceedings.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Had no idea.
I feel like the timing. I just feel like the timing. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, if y'all were looking for a sign from Lil Baby Jesus to say, fuck the Super Bowl, I feel like there it is.
Yeah. Not only that, but on the Friday before the
Divine
Super Bowl,
intervention.
They
sorry,
already, they already, Sting got 34 sex traffic, workers, not like the actual, like, victims, but the people who are, like, organizing it.
Who are doing the trafficking.
Yes.
Yeah.
The traffickers, like, 34, and the Super Bowl is apparently the biggest trafficking weekend.
Yep.
Like, in the world.
So for no other reason to fuck the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like... Yeah, no, I mean, that's like, so, you know, we live here in Des Moines, Iowa, and there's this crossroads of the two major American interstates.
Yeah.
I-80 and I-35.
Right.
Which, of course, we have popularly named a festival after, 8035.
Yep.
That's now, what, I don't know, like 12 years deep, something like that. The trafficking situation here, specifically in our city, is like a really big, 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 big issue because
the traffic.
All of that. I mean, that's the big interchange, bro, and that's where like a lot of shit goes down. Like, the kind of mindlessness that goes towards that kind of issue to be like, oh, but you know what I mean, like. Clearly, we're sitting in a major access point for that kind of stuff. But then also these big events like the Super Bowl, like
the numbers are there. Yeah, the numbers are there. The research is there. Like this is not news.
Oh no,
by any this is
exact statistics.
Yeah. That being said, like, but y'all still like allow this shit to happen.
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I say it's the perfect coverage, because you have all these people who are all in this one place, and they're the guys that there's this big game going on, and there's another, nobody's paying attention. So you can basically move, like, hotel numbers are up and huge, so you can go fly in, meet somebody. If you're well-versed in that underworld lifestyle, arrange things to happen, and be gone, just like everybody else. Like,
yo, man, anything's possible on the dark webs.
Right? And that shit is scary as hell.
Yeah. That's why. Like, between I can't believe they arrested 21 Savage though. Yeah. Like, I am
gonna deport him.
Stunned.
I didn't even know dude was from the UK, which is dope. But also really funny. They're like, yeah, he's a felon because he had a drug charge back in like 2014.
Yeah.
I'm like, y'all didn't catch this shit back then? Like, I was still 9 years after.
You like, caught him then. Right? And you're
like, did a bid, but now y'all are like, you know what? He's starting to do positive shit. Like, he's starting to do all this positive stuff. He has all these community programs in Atlanta teaching kids financial literacy and, like, how to, like, start businesses and save.
And now he's a real threat.
That and the other.
And now he's a real threat.
Yeah, so he got popped by ICE and they're going to send him back to the UK.
Yo, that sounds like some like, real bogus shit right there.
That's, right?
That, oh.
Like, oh, you just do that was a
that rubs now me the
doing
wrong way.
All these positive things for the city.
Gotta stop that.
Right.
We're gonna fix that real quick.
Like, oh, he came up talking about the dope game, but now he's actually teaching kids how to invest and allocate funds and buy property and all this, that, and the other things that can get them real power in the future without having to go down the road he did.
Right.
But, like, nah, you gotta go.
Not here, you don't.
Sorry. We're trying to build a wall, and you teaching black people how to be self-sustaining, unacceptable.
So, that being said, the notion of the Super Bowl being in Atlanta feels like that kind of, like real weak kind of offering to the black community, being like...
That seems to be the trend right now.
Right? Like you know you fucked up real bad, and you know that, like, at large, collectively, some of the biggest black voices have moved against the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to set up shop in Atlanta... to, like, offer you...
It's basically like the black capital of America.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Or at least, if not the one of the biggest cultural epicenters, right? So, like, it feels like one of those, like, strategized moves that also, again, just doesn't feel good to me. That just makes me, like, not like the NFL abstractly even more.
Right.
Like, really? You're pulling that shit? Like, so instead of doing something right... Instead of, like, really revisiting your policies and actually trying to, like, address the issues at hand,
well,
you're just going to, what, go to Atlanta and just feel like, oh, we're fine?
And then they're making big donations into new public policy and, like, programs that are meant to bridge the gap between the police and the communities that they serve, in air quotes.
Mm.
And so they're doing this all these donations. And then, like, the halftime acts, like, Travis Scott is one of them. And he's saying that he's doing the same thing. He's like, no, I'm taking the opportunity to do it, but I had to make sure that the NFL was going to match my donation, like, $500,000 into some outreach program for, like, youth and cops. Which, okay.
You know what?
But you know what would be even more powerful than that one-time donation? Allowing these superstar athletes to actually use their platform to speak out on something important.
Right.
Rather than just trying to buy.
But, you know, I will give props where props are due to try to leverage the situation into something that is better than what you're walking into. Because I'll say this. Like, to try to take the situation and flip that into something is respectable.
It is.
Because the thing is, there's a negotiation process, you know? Because, like, you can make that offering, and they can go, yeah, no, we're not doing any of that. Right? How do you get to a happy medium where, like, you can actually squeeze some good out of a situation? You're giving me a look. I wish everyone could see this look right now. Like,
and I was just letting you finish I tell you about the part where he also claimed that he had discussions with Colin Kaepernick about it and had his blessings to do this, you know, in lieu of the whole thing, because there are a lot of bigger stars, Jay-Z, Rihanna, hell, even Cardi B, didn't want to do the halftime show, even though she actually has a hit single out with the headlining act, Maroon 5.
Yeah.
But she said she didn't feel comfortable going my Cap's back like that. But he said he had spoken with him, they'd had a discussion, and everything was cool. And then come to find out, Cap said, nah, we never talked.
Boo, boo, boo.
Right. So that's what I said. I was letting you go. I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah.
And I was like, so I agree. Like, yeah, he may have spun a little bit of positivity at it, but he still did it the
also
the,
lion the ass dishonorable dude.
Way. Like,
yeah.
And you know, like what are you without like some sort of honor? You know, anybody could take that easy road, which is clearly what you're doing. And like, and then it all comes full circle because what is it? Your baby's mom's sister, one of the Jenner girls, is one of the Pepsi spokespeople. She's the one who did the Pepsi Riot commercial where, you know, like people are rioting. She walks into the cops and hands them a Pepsi. Like, here you go. All this civil unrest can be undone by America's second favorite cola. Not even the fucking best one. But... you know, everybody got to get their check, I suppose.
I'm going to disagree with that one. I mean, like, I get it. We're Americans. We're supposed to be capitalists, all that. But, like, that's exactly I think the problem is this notion of, like, being able to attribute a monetary value to something and then thus that makes it moral. Yeah. You know, like for example, to stay on topic, when Remy Ma bodied Nicki Minaj, and they were like, "Yeah, but Nicki makes more money, so she's better."
Right.
That means literally nothing.
I mean, that kind of has to be the only argument people would have had with the whole Drake Pusha T thing,
right? Like, oh, exactly,
Drake's the biggest artist in the world right now. Yeah, that doesn't mean he's not trash,
right? Exactly. Like, and so that notion of financial gain. Equaling some sort of like qualitative thing like is just so off the mark. Like that's something I think we need to kind of break that habit of being like, oh, but it made like, oh, I got to check out of it. But like, okay, but like, what else did you fucking do?
Right.
You know, like, who did you hurt to get this check?
Right.
You know, like, oh, but I'm paid. Like, yeah, that's actually not enough.
Right.
We can't win. If, like, that's where you're stuck on, well, but I gotta check out of it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. I guess keep serving your corporate masters or like, keep hurting the communities that you claim to love and support.
Mm-hmm.
But you got that check, though, so I guess that's cool. That's bogus. That's bullshit. Like any of these rich motherfuckers come fight me about this. Yeah. I usually don't throw hands. Listen, I will throw hands. With any millionaire,
as long as you promise not to sue me after I beat your ass, like basically.
I mean, they can try.
Can't sue me if I'm broke.
Is how I feel about it.
But yeah, so yeah, that's the first thing we don't care about today is the Super Bowl.
Yo, like I'm gonna miss all of that.
Yeah,
I'm gonna miss all of that.
I'll be on YouTube after it's over so I can watch the new Avengers trailer that apparently is gonna drop. But beyond that, I'm indifferent. And that's nothing against the people who are gonna watch it. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, if that's your bag, you love the game of football, blah 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 blah. Enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Eat some food.
By all means.
Watch that shit. No judgment here. I'm just not participating.
All right, let me ask you this, just for the sake of the conversation, on the social tip of, you know, the Super Bowl parties are a really great, like, I love going, like, fuck football, fuck the teams, like, it's all, because it's usually the Patriots anyway. Yeah,
right.
So, like, having zero investment in the sport and the teams involved and all of that kind of stuff, I've always enjoyed going
Super Bowl parties.
Part to the party, getting my dip on, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like
wings of all
eating till I'm uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, getting to unbuckle my belt, all that. It's so great. What other events could we rally around to have the same kind of social atmosphere as a replacement for the Super Bowl?
Well, see, that's the thing about the Super Bowl that makes it sort of special, at least as far as like sporting events go, is the fact that it's a one and done thing.
Right.
Like for the NBA, which I've taken to join basketball since I stopped watching football. I mean,
yeah.
Started to enjoy basketball more.
it's the finals, so you have like 7 games,
right?
Potentially,
right?
You know, and like you're not gonna have 7 parties over 2 weeks' time.
At the very least, you're getting 4 games,
right? Like
7 max.
Yeah. So that's a little unsustainable,
right?
Like, you know. So I don't really
you want me to come out on a Wednesday night for what?
Right. Like, oh, I gotta work hard at this work on right. Monday because the Sunday night party. Like,
right.
So I don't know. We're gonna have to put some thought into that, right? Because the other things that are coming up, at least this year, that Black people, it seems like they're expecting us to be excited about. I also don't give a fuck about movie award season. I don't. Oh, the Grammys. I don't care about them anymore.
Yeah.
I used to love the Grammys.
What happened?
I don't know. Like, the performances just got lackluster. Like, some of the, like, I felt like a lot of undeserving people got the awards. Like, I just stopped caring. I just stopped caring.
You know what? It's a great breaking point. We're going to take a quick break and get some refills and all that. And then we will speak more on your apathy on award season.
I'm down.
And we're back. And the topic is apathy.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up with that?
I guess I'm over living a life where, as a Black person in America, where when things are happening, we fight so hard for equality and equity that on a lot of fronts, even though we're the ones who completely and totally drive the culture, tastemakers, built America, make the world go round in a lot of ways, that people feel the need to just hand things out. Like, it's almost like, hey, listen, stop complaining, we're gonna give you this thing so you'll shut up. Award season. The Oscars.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've got the Golden Globes. They just announced the Oscar nominations.
Golden Globes. First off, before I go into something that might make me sound like a hater, shout out to everybody that worked on Into the Spider-Verse for cleaning up in the animated categories and all these award shows.
Facts.
Because that movie was a shit, and it is well-deserved from a multicultural team for a multicultural movie.
God, it was so good.
Led by an Afro-Latino superhero. And I'm all for Into the Spider-Verse. So props to them. And
so good.
Like Issa Rae said, I am rooting for everybody Black. Not gonna lie, like, but I'm not gonna watch that shit. Like, I didn't watch it all these years ago when it was the same pasty winners, you know, getting played off stage with the orchestral music. Like, I didn't care then. Just because you throw Black Panther in there, I'm not gonna care enough now to watch it. I'll check the winners online.
Yeah. But well, here's the thing. Some years ago, I had kind of aha moment that I think a lot of those folks are hoping that we don't have. And it's the realization that it's an inside industry event.
Yeah.
Like, the Academy is basically, it's an event where they're patting themselves on the back for a year of good work.
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. All well and good.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to plenty of these, like, you know, banquets and black tie, you know, affairs and all kind of stuff where it's like, hey, this year we did all this stuff. Good job.
Yeah.
Cool. Celebrate that.
Right.
Like, but the notion of televising it and turning it into something that is supposed to make regular folks care about some shit that we have nothing to do with.
Right.
Like we didn't vote for these movies to make these lists.
Right.
And it's not measured by, like, box office performance either, which is, I guess, us voting with our dollars.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that's how we vote.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with us whatsoever. In fact, like, who these people are on the Academy, like, we have no idea who they really are. The fact that there's, like, a whole process of, like, campaigning and trying to, like, you know, gain the favor of these Academy voters to make sure that we get that nomination and land that win. Like, it's more of a, you know, it's more of a hustle than it actually is about the merit of, like, this was a really good film and we want to just recognize it for its excellence, but then also telling us that we're supposed to care about that.
Right. And here's the thing, there's some transparency shed on the, at least for the Oscars, there's some transparency shed on the process by one of the Academy members who I didn't know was Questlove. He posted about it on his Instagram where he was talking about how he felt that the Mr. Rogers
movie got robbed. And he's like, but then again, I have to also take some of my own blame for that, because the way this works is they give you a list of like 200 films and you basically vote for five, and
yeah,
the five that were voted in the ones that go. And so I voted for one of my friend's films in place of the Mr. Rogers one, because I was like, oh, this movie was dope. The rest of the Academy is going to go ahead, like, it'll be there. And
right.
Then come to find out, it wasn't, because that's pretty much how it all works. Like, you have people voting for their friends.
And that's and that's how the Grammys work, too. In fact, I have a friend and co-worker, colleague, who once upon a time had Academy voting rights.
Yeah.
And he put me hip to the game. He said, yo, we just vote for all of our friends.
Yeah.
Like, you go down the list and you see who's there, and it's basically kind of a who you know kind of situation. Literally, like, oh yeah, like, I worked on those records. I want to see my guy do well. Right. I want to see my work do well.
I want to say I'm a Grammy Award winning producer.
Or at least adjacent to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I worked with so-and-so who won a Grammy, which then helps my career too.
Right.
Like in the long run, really.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with artistic merit, which is already, like, super... super subjective,
mm-hmm.
right? But then again, presenting in a way it actually has some sort of effect on our lives,
right?
Which it has zero.
Zero. And then too, where I say that they're just kind of giving us a handout. Like, yeah, Black Panther was a phenomenal film.
It's
definitely one of the best, probably my favorite live action superhero movie since Tim Burton era Batman.
Yeah,
like, up there. But and so even then, I think it's definitely deserving of some of the accolades, like the costume designs, the sound engineering, like the score. I've been giving big ups to Ludwig Göransson for ages now, and he's the one who's behind the score. Like, also Childish Gambino's producer, did the score for Creed and Creed 2, and
yep,
like all these other films. Like, dude's been working.
Right.
All the Stars with Kendrick Lamar and SZA. I love that fucking song. I was like, yo, it's catchy ass shit. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Again, the costume design. The costume designer for Black Panther has been putting in work for years.
Right.
For years. And then I was like, hey, oh, you know what? We were going to come out with this, like, Hollywood's Choice, which was based off of dollars. Because they're basically going to give us our own category for Black Panther. Then they caught hella backlash for that. And they're like, yeah, you know what? Let's just go put it in for Best Picture. I'll be super fucking shocked if it wins.
Yeah.
But it's
superhero movies never
right
really, like, do
yeah
well.
Yeah.
It's seen as less than because...
Is that
because
it's entertaining? And,
right. You know, it's like comic books. Like,
right,
we came up, like,
yeah,
when they weren't cool.
Real.
When they weren't cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's low art.
Yeah.
I know Bill Maher has got a lot of flack when, you know, Stan Lee died. And he was like, hey, nerds, put away your comic books and fucking grow up. And it's like, all right, first off, fuck you.
Right. This man changed a lot of lives.
Right.
He's big in the civil rights movement. He used his platform for positive things, but, you know, whatever.
Also, what the fuck do you know about art? Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, I don't know. And look at your haircut and talk to me about art. I can't. Yeah, I'm not here for it. But the one that, to me, is the biggest slap in the face is that they finally... Spike Lee got his first nod as best director for Black Klansman.
Yep.
Which was a great movie.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I loved it.
But right, where was the Academy during the Crooklyn days? During the Mo Better Blues days? During the fucking Malcolm X days? During
right
the Get on the
yeah
Bus phase?
Malcolm
Do
X,
the right thing.
Malcolm X is an incredible film. Also, yeah, Do the Right Thing is... Like he is, like, a lot of his work is very, very stylized, and he has a very specific way of making films, which is great.
But there it's are not like that's changed,
that, like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
because Black Klansman was full of those Spike Lee moments.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, where if you had no idea that he was the director, but if you've seen any of his other movies, you'd be like, oh, yo, this is fucking Spike Lee.
Yeah, right.
And there it
that
is. Yeah. So for them to now be like, oh, yeah, let's give him this for, like I said, good movie, but nowhere near his best.
Right. But because the climate and the timing
yeah
and the blah, 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 blah. Like, there's all these other deciding factors that actually have nothing to do with the excellence in the field.
Right. No, it's,
because black folks would have been winning. Yeah. Basically.
Like, that's how the whole thing feels. And I'm not going to give you my time in order to acknowledge your handout. That's not what it's going to be. I'll catch
yeah
that shit on Twitter like I do any other non-important news. You
right
know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah, if I remember, I'll check it out.
Right? Like, it's going to come across my timeline. I'm not going to search for that shit.
Well,
like,
and so here's the thing. And so if some of our listeners don't know how these awards things work, and the value that they actually, they do add value to the films and music that it's attached to. Mm-hmm. They actually see a financial bump, like, because once you have that extra little like asterisk next to your project, you see like a revenue increase of millions of dollars.
The price goes up.
Right.
Plain and simple.
No, right. I'm saying as far as like the performance of the project. So like so like if Black Panther were to take home this Oscar this year, like you're gonna see several more millions of dollars come in on the Black Panther movie.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah, we might get different directors because they're gonna do everything they can to milk this last dollar in his name. So
there is definitely a callback to our first half of the show about getting that check.
Yeah.
Right,
and
so you want the Oscar because it's going to mean it an even better bottom line.
Right, and I want them to win off of the strength of the ensemble. Yeah. Like I absolutely like Winston Duke, breakout fucking star because of that movie. Letitia Wright, breakout fucking star in that movie. Lupita Nyong'o has been doing work, but this is gonna put her into that like leading lady category,
right,
where she's gonna be able to stand with some of these other
right
giant names in Hollywood. Right.
So that being said, the notion of it being an inside industry thing, it does have value for those players.
Right.
Because if it does well, I mean, already getting that nomination is going to
put these different stars and directors get introduced as Academy Award nominee. Like, even having your name attached to it, of course, it's going to be a big thing.
Which means you're going to see more opportunities for that cast, that crew, that director, the music.
But here's the thing:
those people are going to see more opportunities.
The only circles that's going to matter in are the people who weren't already dropping literally billions of dollars to do it.
Because
we've already voted with our dollar. We already know the stars we want to see. We already talk about it on social media, like Jordan Peele's new movie, Us, coming out. Like, all these stars that were in Black Panther are in this.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're going back and noticing, like, Daniel Kaluuya was in all this old shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, where people are going back and seeing the catalog because they cared about this. You putting that name on there is not going to affect the people who already cared about the product nor the people working on it.
Big facts, homie.
So that's why I'm saying I'm indifferent.
Yeah, like, it's
because I already told you how I felt about it by spending my money on it multiple times.
Right. Like, I already write for Chadwick Boseman. You know what I mean? Like that's my guy.
Yeah.
Like, when he was
Ryan Coogler, I want him down to keep beasting. Like, I hope that he gets to direct plenty more films. And not just Black stories, because, I mean, he does that well, and there are definitely more that need to be told.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing him do so. But I also don't want him to strictly become, like, the Black director.
Because here's the thing that, like, is really valuable and that I think white audiences are understanding more so now. I think especially with, like, the success of something like Spider-Man, is that, you know, just because these are particularly Black stories, that there are still things to gain because these are still human stories.
Right, because we're a people.
So the thing is, while this is a setting and it's an aesthetic that has relevance to a particular group, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to participate and walk away with something from it.
Absolutely.
And it's also not necessarily just a voyeuristic kind of thing to watch them, how they live, mm-hmm, but to actually connect with these characters that don't necessarily look or live like you,
right,
but there's something deeper that
shared experiences.
Exactly.
Like humanity.
Exactly. Exactly. And to recognize that, like, you can tell Black stories with a broader audience in mind is so necessary, and there's value in that. Like, period. Period, 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 period.
Well, yeah, and the value, I think, comes from the fact that, I mean, literally in this country for hundreds of years, people have worked so hard to strip our humanity from us. So when it's thrown into your face that really we're not that different, like, we tell these universal stories.
Right.
Once you can get past that, like, ingrained bigotry that's been fed to you basically for your whole life,
yeah,
then you see that, oh, this is a story worth hearing. So go listen to it, motherfuckers, but you don't need the awards to tell you that.
Mm. Right. Right.
So I'll not be watching that. No.
I haven't watched an awards show maybe in like 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, legit.
I think the last awards show that I specifically remember would have been the Grammys, where right after Kanye's mom died and he did Hey Mama and Stronger with Daft Punk and the Pyramid on the stage.
Mm.
That was like one of the illest Grammy performances ever. Yeah. And then like the next year it was fucking trash. And then I stopped.
And that's what kills me. They try to like put these performances like, hey, but we've got like some song and dance stuff for you to watch. Because they know it's boring as shit. You know what I mean? Like, because really what comes down to is that they know they got to produce a TV show.
Yeah.
And so they put all these performances
for two,
in there.
3 hours. Like, you want me to give you that much of my life?
They do.
Like, no.
They do. They really, 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 really
when
do.
I could literally spend 2 minutes scrolling on my phone? No.
Right? I can Google who won. And they'll give me a comprehensive list.
Right. And I have plenty of Caucasian nerdy friends who are deeply invested in this for whatever reason.
Yeah.
You know. And they'll share it, so I'll click on the link and be like, hey, good looking out. You saved me that 3 hours of my life that you're never going to get back. So... Yeah, I'm indifferent. Like, really, yeah.
So then let me flip it real quick. For the sake of conversation,
mm-hmm.
A hypothetical.
Okay.
What would it take for you to actually care about the Grammys/Oscars or any other kind of award show? What is the thing that would make you turn the corner and go, I'll spend some time on that?
I'm too far gone. I literally cannot imagine anything that would get me invested to spend hours of my time watching the shows, especially for things that for the most part, like, I don't like. If I'm watching the Grammys, there's really only 3 or 4 categories I care about. You know what I mean? So like, I'm not gonna spend that extra time like to maybe watch some performances, especially like, I'm a millennial from the internet age with the breadths of the world's knowledge in my fucking hand at any time. Like,
right.
There's no need for me to sit in front of a TV for 3 hours when there's like, oh, there's a performance I want to see. Like, you're gonna have it on your website in an hour. Like,
right,
you know,
because you need to.
Exactly.
You need those clicks. You need those streams.
Exactly. That's where your ad revenue is coming from. Because nobody in my generation is watching TV. Like, so we just watched this show. You probably heard of it on Netflix. You, about the crazy stalker dude.
Yep.
It was the first season was on Lifetime and it fucking tanked there. Like, critically, it was a darling. People are like, yo, it's a really good show. But no, the audience was projected towards millennials.
Yeah.
Are not watching Lifetime.
Right.
All of a sudden, Netflix picked it up, and then like off the
everyone's talking
of it,
about. Yeah.
They went ahead and signed it for a second season already, and then they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna pick it up," and it's doing gangbusters, like huge numbers on Netflix, because that's where my generation is consuming our media, the internet and streaming services. Like,
right. I want to watch it in my time when I have it.
Exactly.
Like, I'll give you all my time.
Right.
When I have it.
Right. But I'm not gonna set an appointment to be on my couch at 7:30 every
to watch
Wednesday
this
night.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No, I've got things to do. Like. Plus, I don't feel like watching the ads. Like, I don't, like, none of that. Like, I'm so past commercials, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, it makes me sick. I fucking hate it. So, no, I'm not giving you that time nor that energy. And I really, at this point, I don't think there's anything you could do to get me back. Like, award shows, I think, are aging out.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, too, because you could still, like, you can still give the award without having a televised event.
Right, but that's part of the strategy, is to make it important to everyday.
Then why are you hemorrhaging viewers all the time?
Oh, I didn't say that they had a good plan. I just,
no,
I'm just
like,
saying,
I, like, I feel like at this point, it's kind of like, it's time to put it out to pasture.
Yeah, I would actually, I think I'd be more fascinated if they made it more private. Because then it feels like I gotta, you know what I mean? It creates the need to know.
Yeah.
And so if you would close those doors a little bit,
and then all these,
you know what I mean, or that kind of thing, like,
plus combined with the whole gotcha culture, right? Because you get these people who are wildly popular who are supposed to be the host of these events,
right?
But just about everybody who's wildly popular is there because they make people feel strongly about something.
Right.
Right. And so if you're going to get somebody who is able to elicit the type of emotions to make you want to continually give them your time, invest your money in seeing them in concert or their stand-up show or this, that, and the other, it's going to be something that's going to make you feel something. That's the importance of art. That's why these people are called artists.
Right.
So for you to go and then just expect me to, like, after all the controversy that went on, like for the Oscars with Kevin Hart, like, quite frankly, I don't give a fuck about his old tweets.
Mm.
Like, he was a comedian. This was before he was wildly popular, who said some problematic shit. Is it funny in this day and age? No, but he's also not making some of those same jokes these 15 years or whatever later.
Sure.
So to go back and be like, oh, he said this back then and he's just this asshole, da 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 da. Like, but every one of us is out here talking about how we're trying to grow and be better. Right. So the controversy alone, like, it just makes me, it's another reason for me to not care.
Right.
Like,
That's another reason for me to not care. I know that Post Malone's probably going to win this undeserved Grammy. Like, I don't fucking care. You know what I mean? Like, first off, y'all just really disrespected my man's campaign off of Oblivion, because that was top 10 album of 2018, and he's nowhere on that list.
Right, because you vote for your friends.
Right. Pusha T's probably not going to win Best Rap Album. He should.
That was a really good piece of work that he put out this year.
Yeah. Not necessarily Album of the Year, but Rap Album of the Year. I have no qualms with it. If not him, J-Rock, but neither of them are really popular enough to take it.
Right.
And here's another thing where you can see that the whole thing is fake, is because Drake, for example, is not up for Rap Album of the Year, but he's up for Album of the Year.
Because he's so good. He supersedes classification and genre.
No, he doesn't. And that's the point. Like, y'all are liars. Like, you lie. And I'm not here for it.
Yeah.
I'm not here for it. Yeah. So, yeah, at this point, I think that we've crossed that bridge and burned it down. I don't see myself going back.
Mm.
Unless, like, one of my friends makes it there.
Yeah.
But even then, like, if there's a close enough friend for me to care, I better get a ticket, nigga. Like,
right.
I'm not.
Actually, like, we have plans to try to go to the Grammys this next year.
Bet.
Like, that's
in person?
Yes. Yeah. Like, again, that's part of the industry insider that wants to go and attend the thing, right? I don't care about red carpets. I don't care about TV. Like, right. I don't give a shit about that. Like, I just want to go to the thing, because that's exactly it. It's the industry insider.
Gift bags.
Right. Like, I want to go to the parties.
Yeah.
I want to go, like, rub elbows with the people and learn who's who to go talk to.
Yeah.
Like, because as someone who's in the industry, like, independent, yes, but still in the industry, I'm making coin off of music.
Right.
I'm part of this business too.
Absolutely.
So I should go.
Let me get an Art Direction credit on somebody's album somewhere. Like, I'm all for the networking aspect.
And the business pieces of it. Yes.
I'm not networking sitting on my couch watching that shit at home.
Absolutely not.
So absolutely therefore not. I don't care.
So that's a good stopping point.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. Of course, we're always open to your comments and your suggestions. And, you know, if you want to jump in the conversation, you can always, you know, like, make that happen on Facebook and on Twitter.
Yeah, do you care? Let me know.
Yeah.
So I can tell you why you're wrong. No, just kidding.
Some rando tried to slide my DMs this week.
Yeah.
Like, asking me if I have resentment towards white people.
Do you?
Man, I ain't even gonna waste my time with that conversation. See, like, there's some dumb shit.
But this is the point. You should invite him. Let's talk to him. Let's find out why.
No, why I'm good.
You don't want to give him a voice?
No.
I mean, I feel like they're in America. They have voices everywhere.
Right. Like, no. Not on this one. Like, there's stuff that's worth talking about. That conversation point, not worth my time. Not worth my energy. So, that being said, if you do want to jump into this conversation, choose wisely, because you might get, blocked. Anyway.
I don't have time, though, so maybe Facebook isn't your place to talk to Madison, but if you want to come over to the Twitter at @DWF_DSM, chances are, you catch me on the right day, I might have time for you. But it's not going to be an easy win. I just gotta let you know that. Let you go up front. It's not going to be an easy win. But yo, test your might.
Come on, Mortal Kombat.
Hey, somebody's going to leave feeling toasty.
We should bring back the top 10 list. Like, we've got the playlist on Spotify. Like, I think we should add a new 10 this week. So, of course, go to Spotify, check out our top 10 list. Or if you have any recommendations on shit we should be listening to, I mean, we're always open to new jams.
Might have to throw some freshly deported 21 Savage.
Like, listen, I won't block you on music choices.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll give that a listen. Yeah. But like, if you want to ask me some dumb shit, like, you are barking up the wrong tree, my friend. That being said, this podcast is brought to you with our help from our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love, not cocaine. So yeah, enjoy your game with the cheaters. Because you know Tom Brady's in there, and that nigga's a cheater. So is his coach. Enjoy that. They'll probably win again. And if they don't, the other team, I think it's the Rams. And it's like, who cares? If you say you're a Rams fan, you're a fucking liar. Like, even the people from LA, because they were the St. Louis Rams before that, like, you're just a bandwagon fan. So
that was a rant. Holy shit.
I mean, not really. I'm just speaking facts. So enjoy your game full of cheaters and
temporary stars who come to set up shop because nobody else fucking wanted them and they lucked into some good draft picks. But enjoy yourselves. Eat all the food. Yeah, treat each other kind.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right, peace.